Stand with me, please. Brother E said last week, after years and years of preaching, you wonder, what new thing can I come up with? And that's many times the worst nightmare for a pastor or an evangelist, trying to find the mind of God and what the need of the congregation is. And of course, you'll never know what the need of the congregation is until you get the mind of God. I will never preach to problems within the church. It never solves anything. But there is a need. And I was thinking today, before I ever received the Holy Ghost, I asked God for two things. One, God, give me a love for the truth and give me a love for the lost. And I believe that God was so pleased with that, that he responded, because I've never, ever questioned the truth of God's word. I love it. I stand on it. I don't care if everybody else is against me. And I love the lost. I almost went a little wacko Saturday because there were so many couples here who didn't know God, and I tried to go from couple to couple, seeing the potential. If they have the potential to want to make their marriage better, then they should have a potential to make their marriage better, you know? And so I'm so grateful for truth, and if you have truth tonight, if you're standing here in truth, then you truly are a miracle. Because there's a whole lot of people who do not want truth. They just don't. So if you turn to John, the 18th chapter, please. And verse 33, it says, then Pilate, entering into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? The same was true when he asked the disciples in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? Do you believe this, or are you just repeating somebody else? You know, Pentecost can be that way. Well, we just say what everybody else says, but we really need to get to the place where we believe that, and we are able to say it. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You ever wonder why people just don't get it? Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. Amen. Two truths. Right. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God tonight. We're grateful for what we have. And God, help us to keep it. Lord, always, always to defend it. It's all in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Pilate's last question for Jesus was, what is truth? No one was ever more qualified to answer this question than Jesus. He is the author of all truth, and in fact, he is truth. And if people don't receive truth, they will die in their sins. It's not a matter of opinion. It has to be a matter of what really is the fact. Jesus said in John 8 and 24, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So what is truth? Some people wouldn't recognize truth. They just stared him in the face. And that's exactly what Pilate was doing. He was staring Jesus in the face. He was looking right at truth, and he couldn't see it. You will notice that Jesus didn't even respond to Pilate when he said, what is truth? Because Jesus knew that Pilate didn't want more truth. You know, there are some people who just don't want any truth. And so we don't keep after them. We don't keep nagging them. We don't keep, trying to chase them down. So how do you handle people that don't want truth? Let's take our Bibles and to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Second Timothy 2 and verse number 23, it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of a snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So if we just in meekness distribute the word of God with patience, it's God who gives them repentance and allowing them to come to truth. But it also says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Don't get into these battles that there can never be any winner, you know? There are some things that are just never plainly stated within the word of God. So what's the sense, you know? Glory to God. Then go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. And verse number 12, God is saying, now he's instructing his disciples on how to witness to people. He's saying, and when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And it actually says twice in the book of Acts where disciples went into houses, they weren't received, and they actually shook their clothes or stomped their feet because, you know what, you're not worthy. It's a difference between ignorance and just rejection, you know? It's the same when somebody leaves the church that had truth. Maybe they fall away, but they don't badmouth truth. They can be brought back. But when people get to the place where they just badmouth this, you know, they blaspheme. You know, I really believe that that's the unforgivable sin. When people have gotten to the place where they have all this truth and now they thumb their nose at it, people have to be careful. You know, so Jesus didn't respond to Pilate. Yet when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, secretly, thinking Jesus was not just a teacher, yet wondering how he did all of these miracles, he wanted truth. He didn't want a theory. He didn't want insight. He didn't want an opinion. He didn't want another story. But he wanted something. He had something deep down in his heart, just like each and every one of you had, that God saw, and he directed someone like Philip out in the middle of the desert to talk to an Ethiopian. Glory to God. Jesus gave him the plan of salvation. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God or the realm of God. Nicodemus was looking for truth, and Jesus gave it to him. Glory to God. I have been teaching home Bible studies for something like 36 years, and it's called Search for Truth. I don't know of a better title for this Bible study than Search for Truth. People who really want more of God. You're here tonight because you're searching for more truth. You know, and I believe that God wants to give us more revelation, greater insight to who he is every time we come to church. You see, truth is not complicated. It's not a question of, do you get it? It's a question of, do you want it? You know, because if you want it, God will make it plain. He really will. Glory to God. I'm almost undone here. All right. So the question is, are you a pilot or are you a Nicodemus? Amen. You know? Question his word, or are you a Nicodemus who is sincere and has a hunger for more truth? And sometimes we put people in categories. Do you want more truth? And we just define truth as Acts 2 and 38. But truth goes way beyond Acts 2 and 38. You see. And okay, I'm stopping here at Acts 2 and 38 because I don't want all of the other truths about modesty and hair and faithfulness and all of these things, because you can't have part truth. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Those are the Christians who are rewarded the most. Truth is defined as conformity to fact, or faithfulness to the original standard. That's where we're at. We're conforming to the original standard. The Bible is the only truth that this world has. Unless we conform to it and are faithful to it, we will never embrace it, you see. You got to make a decision. I want it all, because if you just take part of it, it's just going to be a struggle for the rest of your life in church. We therefore don't have Jesus if we don't have truth and the knowledge of him. We will die in our sins. God created us with an ability to imagine as well as define what truth is. So there are many who imagine, or they perceive that this is what God, I feel that God, and those are the ones who imagine, but we define. We define based on the book of standards for each and every one of us. Now, man operates with these boundaries for better or worse. We have the free will to choose truth or illusion, fact or fiction. It's never hard to identify truth because we have a bureau of standards. And I remember when I first came into the church, I probably wasn't as gracious as I should have been, and I went at everybody, but I knew one thing. I remember going to a meeting with a man, his name is Jim Rodrian, and he was defending his way, and I was going to defend my way, and he brought at least six books with him, and I just bought one. And I said, here's the ground rules. If it's not in this book, you know, does it really matter? Amen. Who cares what the opinions of everybody else is? Amen. Now, the basis for all spiritual warfare is in who shall define truth, you know? Arguments between different denominations is who defines what really truth is. I almost Saturday accepted the Lord as my Savior again, you know? Because at the end of this video here, that's what they do, you know? Now, if you haven't well, I did accept him, but you can't stop there. Right. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to accept him, but has he accepted us, you know? I have confessed him, and not only at the beginning, but every day. Hallelujah. The word of God, or the illusions of this present world, we have to define. What are you going to adhere to? So what is our concept of truth based on? Let's take a look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse number 37. Very familiar scripture. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, how? As the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The key here is you can believe, but you have to believe based on what the scriptures say. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the New Testament or the new will could not be read or dispersed until after he died. Glory to God. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Some believed what he said. Some, well, I'm questioning based on what my experience has been or what I have been taught. It's a terrible thing when you have to unlearn somebody and then give them truth, you know? And the problem is sometimes we make such a stand on wrong teaching that we won't relent in order to grab truth, you know? There's too much pride because I've done this all my life. I'm not changing. That's why older people are really a miracle. Younger people are open to more truth and new ways. Colossians, the second chapter, please. Verse number 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. And then Galatians, the first chapter, verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know, we want to be kind and we don't want to be rude, but if there was ever a time, it's when truth is questioned, especially salvation. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I've heard this from Brother East on a number of occasions. When he comes here, he feels like he has such a freedom to preach whatever God gives him, but he doesn't always have that freedom. In fact, some have said, please, you know, go easy, because they're afraid that somebody's going to be offended and then they won't come back. But you know what? We have to reestablish truth over and over and over and over again. Amen. Glory to God. It's a safety net, if you will. Truth is not arbitrary. Truth can't be debated. There must be a standard set to measure everything against. Everything that we do in life, there has to be something that says, how should I do it? How should I do it right? Even the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all of the amendments that we have in forming this country, you know, we find that we're questioning them. There were men who spent days on their faces putting this thing together, but those who aren't committed to God won't be committed to the Constitution of a nation under God, you see. There has to be a standard set. Otherwise, we just waste time philosophizing, never coming to any kind of conclusion. And that's what they did in Acts 17 on Mars Hill. Everybody came with their opinion. You know, spend a whole day. Okay, it's your turn to stand on the rock. Tell me what you believe. And then Paul shows up and says, hey, I perceive you're all too superstitious. You've got one monument that says to the unknown God. I want to tell you who he is. Glory to God. I remember some years ago, after a Sunday night, went to a restaurant, my wife and I and another couple, and there was a whole group of young people sitting in a booth, and they all had their Bibles out, and they were a little loud, you know, and I felt like, I have to go over there. And so I did, and they invited me to sit down, and I started telling them about the scripture, and it was like I was speaking in Swahili, you know. I asked the couple we were with, could you take my wife home, because I'm going to be here for a while, you know. But you can tell when people are open or they just resist. And it's not my job to save them. It's just my job to give them the word. Don't get to the place where you think you failed, you know. Glory to God. Would you turn to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter? Second Peter 3 and verse number 15. It says, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So what it's saying here, it's not Paul's smarts, you know, it's not Paul's wisdom. It was a wisdom that God gave to Paul to write unto us, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destructions. Well, how can you believe that? If we get to that place where we start questioning the scripture, it's to our own destruction, you know? Glory to God, just take it. Let's not be picky eaters. Now, everyone can have this own personal view of reality. My concept of getting dressed to come to church is different than some, and that's all right. But it's my view, and I always feel that I want to present myself the best to God. 45 years ago, when I first went to New York City for training for the company I was working for out of New York, I was just shocked. Here I was just a farm boy from Oak Creek, and here I find myself in the middle of New York City, getting on a subway at Grand Central Station, men in three-piece suits, other people carrying a big fish, and, you know, it was just so odd. I see, now this is back in 1967, and there were people with green and blue hair, and I never saw that. They didn't do that where I came from. You know, I get off this subway in 1967 and be approached by prostitutes. And it was so completely different than I ever experienced before. Now, reality to New Yorkers was completely different than the reality of a farm boy in Oak Creek. I would say that they were wrong, and they would say that I was wrong, because all they knew is their concept of what was right. Whatever a society agrees on and establishes through consent and constant use determines and defines the reality for them. You know, most of us are defined based on our childhood. My parents, as well as my wife's parents, would would say, okay, it's summer, we have to go up in northern Wisconsin and find ourselves a fishing pole, and, you know. And so what happens when you have kids? Well, you make the same trip because we're defining who we are and what you feel is right. Now, if you did something else, well, that's what you defined as the best thing that you could do, you see. And so we decide based on consent and constant use. It determines and defines reality to them, and then they can't accept change of truth. Opinion in our social environment is one thing, but when it comes to salvation, there is no room for opinion. And that's why it's so hard to get older people to accept truth. The Word of God opposes their reality or form of truth. I think at 67 years old, I'm pretty objective and open-minded, but I'm still looking for more truth because that excites me. You know, it really does. Brother Putnam's message on taking your shoe off and giving it to someone, I mean, that was awesome because it gives me another perspective, but it's based on the Word of God. I said to him Monday night, we got together and I said, people are taking their shoes off and throwing them at the pulpit. You know, it's just not right. The Word of God is such an awesome thing because it answers every one of our problems if we're willing to look for it. And the mistake too many people have is that they have a drive-through experience with God's Word. Hurry up, throw it through a window of 45 minutes, and they never sit down and get anything for themselves. I have more times that there are tears over pages of the Bible because all of a sudden God showed me, enlightened me with things that I had never seen, and this awesome presence of God comes over me, and it's a delight. Before you die, you've got to have an experience like that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for change. I remember Brother Meadows coming, and Brother Meadows was pastoring in Fond du Lac at the time, and he was a vitamin freak, you know. Just love vitamins. And he tried to convert everybody. You know, I have to have at least 6 handfuls of vitamins. And I would say, listen, I eat Fruit Loops. They're fortified. What do you think all those colors are, man? Glory to God. The greatest battle we have today is between man's power to establish the reality of what is important in our lives. And we're inundated every day from so many different ways to tell us how we should define our life and decide what's important. Because the fact of the matter is most of us get one thing that we decide what we're going to use it on, and that is time. What are you going to do? I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, did I waste it or was I profitable for God? Glory to God. You need to be profitable for God. Hallelujah. There are battle lines in the church today. The devil, the deceiver, wants us to accept Christianity as the rest of the world accepts Christianity, and we do not want to be judgmental of somebody else, and we don't want to be rude, and we don't want to have a conflict with somebody else. But there's always going to be a battle and a conflict to define what real truth is. And the typical denominal truth is just watered down and washed up and colorless and homogenized. It's powerless, without name, without any clear-cut plan, and it all kind of blends together. To me, I don't know, some of you are in business. If you just open your business and say, let's see what happens, You know, without any clear-cut plan of what you were going to do in order to establish. I'm so grateful that God doesn't deal in generalities, but he is a very specific God. You take the lamb on the 10th day, and on the 14th day you kill the lamb, and then you do it all together, and you take the blood of the lamb, and, you know, thank God for specifics. And if people didn't follow the specifics of the Bible, well, then they didn't get the blessing. And if it exists long enough where we're compromising, it then becomes our reality. If we spend time, enough time with those who have compromised this truth, we have a tendency to justify their incompetence of finding real truth. It really happens. They're such nice people. I just, you know what? They really love God. Well, that's fine. But do they have truth?
Amen.
That's the question. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan wants people to consent to his reality and reinforce his deceptive views of what the church is supposed to be. The first sight of that is in Genesis, the third chapter, where you know, Satan comes to Eve and said, did God say? Questioning God's word. Man's reality will be judged by God's truth, no matter how real it seems to society. The Bible is always the last word. You know, it really is. And that's why we have such an easy time of preaching, because it's not my thoughts, it's God's thoughts. And if you reject it, it's not rejecting me, it's rejecting God's word. The Bible tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. So that means it's going to cost us something. It costs us something. It costs us relationships. It costs us an opportunity to blend in with everybody else, and sometimes we'll be rejected, but it's going to cost something. If it's free, as a lot of denominations say, free, you know, salvation is free, well, then this scripture is not right. If you have truth, you're really a miracle. Your concept of reality was changed not by your desire, but by God's spirit. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you, but God did. That's what God said to Peter. You didn't figure this thing out. You didn't understand that you are the Christ. That was revealed to you from heaven above. We can't sell it. We can't neglect it. We can't give it away. Guard it with your spiritual life. And don't let the reality of the world influence you. Keep checking the standard of truth. You got to keep checking it. Is that right or isn't it? And that's why preaching is so important. That's why you need to hear it over and over. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not just by reading the word of God. Would you turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter? Second Timothy 2 and verse number 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more unrighteousness. So we need to study the word of God. We need to not be ashamed of what we know, but we have to divide it so we know what the truth says. When someone comes to you and says something that's diabolically different than the word of God, there's an alarm that goes up and says, no, I know what the scriptures really say. It's important. Take a look at Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1 and verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He's talking about people who God has given truth to, but they cannot hold it in unrighteousness. I can't tell you how many people who have said to me over the years and even recently have said, you know, I love this Acts 2 and 38 message, and I'll always believe it, but there are so many other things that I think are just so unnecessary, you know. So I have to leave because I don't fit in, but I'm going to stay with truth. And I'm telling you, I have never seen anybody ever who has left and said, well, I'm going to stay with the plan of salvation, but the rest of it isn't important. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, you know. And it won't be long where God's saying, no, unrighteousness, ungodliness, give me the truth back. Right. And pretty soon they don't know about one God anymore. Jesus' name, baptism, well, you can do it that way or you can do it in the titles. And I really don't think you have to speak in other tongues in order to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God's saying, no, you can't have it anymore. I revealed it unto you. I gave you the most precious thing on the face of the earth. But now, you don't think it's that important? Glory to God. The greatest battle, spiritual battle on earth is, who will control truth? Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness or obscurity of this world, against spiritual or religious wickedness in high places. So God's saying, you know what? You're not wrestling against people. You're wrestling against spirits. You're wrestling against people who are used by the opposition. Verse number 13 of that chapter says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Hallelujah. So because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against powers and spirits of wickedness. Therefore, we need to stand and we need to hold fast to truths. It's not old-fashioned, you know. It's not something that we can take or not take. Listen to this. When the church is aggressive in its agreement with truth, then the presence of God increases in the spiritual realm. But when the church is passive and indifference and carnal and the reality of truth, the power of hell increases and God's spirit decreases. There's no question. The more we embrace full truth, the greater power we have and the greater presence of God that is in our services. That's why you can go from one church to another church and they both may have that Acts 2 and 38 experience, but one has a surge of God's power in it that is inexplicable because they've taken all of the truth rather than just a portion of that truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I know I'm working you hard. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are things that want to get a hold of us, folks, whether it's thought patterns or habits or drugs or alcohol or lust of the flesh, that we're fighting all of the time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not because you went through a 12-step program, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge or truth of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you have to understand, it's not going to be your fortitude. It's not going to be because you are so determined that this is going to happen, but God has given us weapons to pull down those strongholds in our life, and even our imagination is completely switched and changed so we can enjoy our salvation. What are the strongholds? They are the lies of the devil that has sown into our thought process, and if we accept them, they become reality or truth to us. So if you're around people who don't have truth, that process starts to work in our own thinking, you know? Glory to God. That's why it's so devastating to have somebody who is an heir within the church and then just goes and talks to somebody and talks to somebody. You know, and those things just devastate the truth. There was a lady that I baptized back in, I think, 88 or 89, and I haven't seen her for a while, but every 3 or 4 months she shows up. And she goes from this church to another Trinitarian church, accept the Lord as your Savior. And I've often said to her, so how long are you staying this time? You know, and I don't mean to be mean, but there have been times where she has taken her doctrine of error to other people within the congregation. And I get a little frightened for the lambs who aren't established within the church. Oh, I want everybody to come and be happy here. But you know what? Let them be accursed. Another gospel, you see. Hallelujah. We don't fall into sin as much as we are seduced by it. You know? So subtle, so insidious, so gradually, you know, we can get to the place where the fact of the matter is, folks, and I'm sure somebody will hear this on a tape or a podcast or something, but the fact of the matter is there are a number of conferences that I don't even open the door to this church for, because there are churches who are labeled the same as ours, but they don't believe the same way anymore. And I'm not going to lay down my life for 25 years teaching truth from this word to have them exposed to somebody who doesn't care about it anymore. They've given up. They just won't do it. Hallelujah. And my responsibility is to this body of believers, not to anybody else, you see. But we're going to stay with the truth, because that's where the satisfaction is. That's where the fulfillment is, you know. And then it's so much easier to live for God. Don't tune me out right now, but we all know that there is a prince of the power of the air. And when it was written, yes, there were spirits, and yet today, it's way beyond just the spirits. The devil controls the airways of this world, including the internet, you know, everything that will be invented in order to facilitate communication of some kind is going to somehow come under the control of the spirits, the evil. There is a spirit that flows unhindered throughout the entertainment industry. throughout the media, most of it, you know, throughout the dead tree media, you know, the newspapers. It flaunts itself in worldly fashion. It holds degrees and philosophies that says, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. It is in our schools. It's inundating in them. In fact, Brother Putnam was telling me Monday night that his son-in-law, Chris Schmidt, who pastors a church in Monroe, his little boy was in school. I think he was in the third grade, something like that. And he came home and he said, I don't like going there anymore, especially in the third hour, because we all have to lay our heads down on our desk and they play this yoga music, you know, and we're supposed to just kind of concentrate on leaving our bodies and being at peace with ourselves. And so he went and talked to the teacher. Then he talked to the principal. And really, it's a form of religion. It's a Hindu religion, you know. He said, if you're going to do this, then let me come in an hour a day and I'll teach on Jesus Christ, you know. So we're not talking about just one school. It's throughout the entire county and perhaps many counties. And so as a result, they have pulled this out completely, you see, because we're dealing with spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Where can you go in our society that that kind of spirit is not felt? Well, the answer is come to church. Amen. Set up a godly home, you know. This spirit pours out of movies. It pours out of TVs. It pours out of commercials. People don't fall into sin. They are really seduced into it. It is the prince of the power of the airways. It is his mouthpiece to the rest of the world. This is our mouthpiece. We don't get equal time. And soon there are no more absolutes. Everything is kind of, well, your opinion. And just shades of darkness, he becomes the ruler of obscurity. And truth is lost to virtual reality or false truth. Be careful to what you expose yourself and to what you expose your family. Once those things are injected, it's hard to get them out. And then the enemy can bring them back to your thought process again. And so you need to keep your mind pure as much as you possibly can. Be careful. Even radio talk shows. I just don't need to turn any kind of media on. The telephone can spread evil reports faster than a speeding bullet. 1 Corinthians 15:30 says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Hallelujah. So buy the truth, sell it not, keep it guarded. As I said early in this message, I asked God for those two things. It was about 3 months before I ever got the Holy Ghost, but I knew enough that I knew if I'm going to survive this thing, I need two things. I have to have a love for this truth, and I have to have a love for the lost. Now, you can have a love for the truth and not care at all about the lost. I'm just coming to get mine and not worry about all of the people that are around us. I feel so strongly that this year we need to push for outreach to those who aren't saved, because we're having phenomenal church, but that can't be enough to satisfy us. We got to have somebody that we brought to God, because one day God's going to say, where's your sheaves? What have you done? Well, I've been faithful. That's good. But there's nothing that would please God more than I won somebody to God, you know? It's a tree of life. He who winneth souls is wise. Glory to God. I love you. Amen. I love God. And I love this truth. Would you stand with me, please? I was overwhelmed by what a man did in 1970, going to Madagascar, couldn't speak the language, and now, after not so many years, 900 churches established because one man had a burden. Amen? Glory to God. And it can't be limited to one country. We can do it, folks. Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?